stood together with a few people. They were surrounding Autumn, who clearly looked unwell. He couldn't figure out what Sungcho was up to, but they were both situated in the rear. This meant Sungcho was confident in his suggestion and was taking the same risk he was. Zhengshik comforted himself with these words while waiting for the rank match to begin. Sungcho stared off into the sky with an expressionless face. It was a clear day, and not a single cloud could be seen in the sky. The sun burned brightly, forming short but dark shadows. The soft breeze from the mountains felt cool and pleasant.
Ah, I feel so nervous. Where could Yang Zhong have gone?
Sung-hae, caught in past traumas, began to mutter to herself. She had chosen to stand with Sung-chul rather than with Yu-hun. It wasn't out of some woman's intuition, but rather out of a forced obligation. It was well known that her staff was once Sung-chul's, and they had also acted together before. There were many within the pre-selected who held the same assumptions Autumn once had, that she was a pathetic woman who had slept with Sung-chul to get his staff. The two other men that were standing with Sung-chul, Jung-shik Park and Woo Dong-kim, had joined Sung-chul out of their own free will. They had gotten acquainted because they both coincidentally were used car salesmen, and both disliked Yu-hun. They also benefited from Sung-chul previously, and thus they had chosen to stick with him. However, they were put off by the sight of Autumn's cloaked body that was swinging in front of them.
Pro Kim, you sure that guy will be all right like that?
For reasons unknown, the used car salesman duo had decided to call him Pro Kim.
Doesn't matter.
Sung-chul spoke bluntly and looked over the entire plaza with indifferent eyes. He couldn't find the person that he was looking for. Amuge, the suspected regressor. They had shaken hands with the idea of cooperating later, but she had concealed herself right before the rank match had started.
Intriguing. There's someone that can hide even from my eyes.
Some people were known to have thin shadows. This meant that they had such a small presence that they were often overlooked. Amuge was also one of them, but in her case, it was more like her shadow didn't exist at all. She'd not only managed to evade his supernaturally honed senses, but also managed to slip beneath his guard and surprise him. Could she have some hidden ability? Although it was commonly known that regressors normally return with the memories of their previous lives, there might also be some secrets which Sung-chul was still unaware of. This was especially so in Otherworld, which was filled with both mystery and wonder. The sound of a homunculus blowing a horn sounded from a distance. Sung-chul immediately returned to his group and shared some equipment with his comrades.
Jung-shik Park, I'll give you this shield. Protect Autumn with it.
Jung-shik Park had a small stature, but he had spunk. His strength and vitality were among the highest in the group. But he had a trauma related to corpses, and so hadn't been able to display his true strength in the first rank match. Other than his nasty habit of smelling his butthole with his finger, he was actually quite a good addition to his forces. When he received the light shield of vitality, he scratched beneath his butt and tilted his head.
Protect that guy? That guy, he seems a bit off his rockers, but isn't he still the strongest one here?
I think he's afflicted with some kind of side effect from the werewolf transformation. It will be enough to protect him just until he can transform. I'll give you the signal. You just have to protect him until then.
I got it. I suppose Pro Kim knows best.
Jung-shik Park nodded his head and looked at Autumn with a difficult expression. Next, Sung-chul handed Woo-jong the soldier's crossbow.
The same to you too. Protect Autumn with this.
Contrary to Jung-shik Park, Woo-jong had a large stature and a threatening aura, but his personality was introverted, and he didn't have the confidence for close-quarter combat. He had almost died of anxiety during the Tam-Tam match. However, he happened to have been a Special Forces sniper during his military years and had no problem doing the attack one-sidedly. He would be more than able to pull his weight during the battle.
Oh, hey, this is too much. What will Prokin be fighting with?
Sung-chul revealed his beginner blade at Woo-jong's question.
Ah, I see.
Sung-hae had already received a weapon from Sung-chul. It was the magic staff, Moonlight. It wouldn't be an exaggeration to say that it was the most effective weapon within the summoning palace. Sung-chul decided not to give Sung-hae any particular orders because she would never be able to overcome her hatred for Autumn. Songchul, who had finished laying out his orders, looked to the front. The barrier between the Blanche and the Azure Plaza was slowly dissipating. The battle will now begin. Please show us a battle worthy of an event run in the name of the God of Order. The barrier disappeared, and countless little skirmishes broke out in between the palace gates of the plazas. Since the summoned were inexperienced with large-scale battles, they were excessively unorganized and cautious. Both sides moved like the tide, with neither side willing to fully commit to the battle. They both instinctively knew that if even a drop of blood were spilled, there would be no turning back from there. This is why I don't like deathmatch style. I really can't stand to watch this. Fucking pussies. The influential people within the observation towers watching the rank match began to grow impatient and spoke harshly. In this world, cowards were considered worse than criminals. Dolores wore a glamorously adorned robe that she normally didn't wear and was socializing among the influential crowd like a true social butterfly. Whenever she met someone's eyes, she would give a refined smile and greeted them with a nod. If they spoke to her, she responded with grace and charm as she willingly became their interlocutor. One of them complained as they watched the Bloodless Plaza.
Ah, I can't stand to watch this. I heard the Blanche Plaza killed a Tam-Tam and had high expectations to see some monsters, but all just fucking expendable peasants. At this rate, someone will have to go and ruthlessly cull them down.
Dolores wore a thin smile and matched the mood with a sensual voice.
How about we make a bet with the Azure Plaza then? They're not as good as the Scarlet Plaza, but Azure Plaza is backed by pretty powerful forces. They might have prepared something special after hearing about the news with the Tam-Tam.
Azure Plaza, eh?
As the man contemplated, Dolores moved over to the window, looking over the entirety of the plaza, and checked her pocket watch.
It's almost showtime.
A cruel smile formed on Dolores's lips as something unexpected happened within the Azure Plaza's side. The people standing at the front line suddenly collapsed and began to moan as they were having seizures. Not just one, but six people began to convulse, as though it had all been planned beforehand. All eyes from both plazas, after having nothing better to do, gathered upon this scene.
What's wrong with them?
All of the Azure Plaza mostly looked confused at the sudden scene, but the Blanche Plaza was different. They had already witnessed something similar. Their terrible premonition suddenly became a nightmarish reality. Their joints became twisted, and fur began growing all over their bodies. Their large eyes were dyed yellow, and their canine teeth filled their gaping maw. Werewolves. The terrible nightmare once again faced the Blanche Plaza and filled them with despair.
Werewolves!
People began fiercely pushing back towards the Blanche Plaza. The six werewolves bared their fangs and stepped forward. The Blanche Plaza had already gone as far back as they could and began to completely fracture in response to the pressure. The people in the front continued to push the ones behind them. And as everyone continued pushing one another, the Blanche Plaza completely unraveled before they could even start fighting.
Hey, Mr. Yuhun, what do we do now?
The pre-selected who had placed their trust in Yuhun and stood at the front now looked towards him in despair.
Let's first calm down and escape to the sides. I'll open us a path.
Yuhun gritted his teeth and began using all his strength to push away everyone that was blocking his way.
What the fuck are you doing, you bitch?
As someone dared to speak up about his aggressive behavior, he swung his blade without batting an eye. Blood splattered and a man died. Yuhun's true devilish nature revealed itself as people turned to him in surprise.
Fuck off! I said fuck off! You want to die? Huh? Do you?
People opened a path for this man, whose eyes darted from side to side as he intimidatingly swung about his bloody blade. Unfortunately, cruel fate still headed his way, despite his efforts to avoid it.
Hey, it's coming this way! It's coming!
The werewolves ignored the crowds of people and headed directly towards Johun and his group. Johun weakly sat down as he realized the 12 eyes, filled with bloodlust, only had them in their sights.
How?
A single man's face appeared in his mind. The man with a mysterious identity. The man whose thoughts he couldn't decipher. His outer appearance might have been shabby and his looks laughable, but he had been telling the truth. He didn't know whether that man had been lucky or something, but
I should have listened to that bastard.
Those were his last thoughts as a werewolf ran him through with its claw and a set of ravenous teeth came from behind to tear apart his flesh.
Oh, fuck.
Sung-hae, who was watching the scene from a distance, couldn't help but spit out profanity. It was for the pre-selected. Within a moment, the werewolves had made rags out of the pre-selected and moved on to their next target. Main target. There was something marked within the werewolf's sights. It was the remaining group of pre-selected off in the distance, and it was searching the location of the target that had to be killed first. The six werewolves tore apart people between themselves and split the Blanche Plaza forces in half as they darted off towards the rear. They were headed towards Sung Churl.
Broke him! Broke him!
Jungshik Park, holding his shield, repeatedly shouted out with a nervous voice.
What's wrong, Jungshik?
My arm feels like it shrank a size. Can I run away now?
Hold it. You'll calm down once you take a whiff of your butt.
Saying that, Sung Churl held his blade and stood to the left as if to protect Jungshik.
Now, let's hold it a bit longer. Once Autumn wakes up, he'll kill all those low-grade werewolves for us. We'll just sit to the back and eat some rice cakes.
Jungshik Park felt comforted for some unknown reason. He felt so comfortable that it felt as if he could never be killed if Sung Churl was at his side. Even in his wildest dreams, he would never imagine that the person standing next to him was the strongest human. No, the strongest warrior in all of this world.
Fire!
Sung Churl swung his sword and shouted. Wujong and Sung-hae fired off one after the other in coordination towards the werewolves. However, werewolves were still werewolves. They avoided the projectiles flying at them from the distance with ease and quickly arrived in front of Jungshik Park's shield by dodging all the flying arrows and energy bolts.
Krrr!
One of the werewolves swiped at the shield wall. Jungshik Park felt like he would fly off like a ball, but he narrowly kept his feet on the ground and held back the attack. Sung Churl swung his blade and cut the werewolf's body after successfully blocking its attack. The werewolf deftly retreated to dodge his blade, then growled with his teeth bared. This time, two werewolves stepped up. The rest of them slowly spread out and surrounded the shield wall. If not for the constant barrage of fire from Wujong and Sung-hae, they would have attacked much more readily.
It's time.
As Jungshik's terror reached its peak, Sung-chul grabbed his collar and pulled him back while he tossed something towards the werewolves with his other hand. The blackened liquid was Autumn's rotten blood. With the scent of the blood scattered in the air, the werewolves were once again reminded of Dolores's objective, Autumn Park. The existence which was behind the shield wall now stood exposed to them with no obstacles in their way. Autumn continued to swing back and forth up until the werewolves tore him to shreds. They tore him up so completely that not a single identifiable piece of him remained. They didn't notice that the fuel for inextinguishable fire, which was hidden within Autumn's corpse, had splashed all over them. Sung-il, who had been watching from the observation tower, was filled with terror, while Dolores had a smile filled with pride. Sung-chul, his expression passive as always, suddenly appeared behind Wujong.
Stand still.
He quickly tied Wujong's bolt with a cloth and rubbed the golden toadstool against the alchemic charcoal to set the cloth on fire. It was now a single-use flaming bolt. Songcho waved his sword as he quietly said,
"Fire."
Wujong pulled the trigger with his finger, and the flaming arrow flew towards the werewolf that was tearing into Autumn's corpse. The werewolves agilely dodged the arrow, but when the arrow hit the floor, they couldn't stop the fire from spreading onto their bodies.
Ow!
The werewolves were burned alive by the inextinguishable fire. First their skin and fur, then even their eyeballs. Black smoke rose into the sky.
Wow! Look at him!
Zheng Shixiong, who had been watching from the rear, now led his subordinates as though he had just been waiting for a signal.
Let's go! Let's go kill everything!
The landscape of the battle had changed. The moment the werewolves, who had brought so much morale to the Azure Plaza, were burned alive, was the moment the Blanche Plaza's victory was more or less assured. Chapter 9. Amuge. One night, everyone experienced the same dream as God's curse swept through the land. From that moment on, not even a single child's laughter could be heard. The curse of extinction. This calamity was interpreted as one of the harbingers of the end. It brought an incurable illness that killed every child born in the cursed land. It didn't discriminate between the rich or poor, strong or weak, noble or otherwise, and killed everyone impartially, as all were equal in the face of unrelenting death.
So, is the kid doing well?
Captain of the Order of the Iron Blood Knights, Song Taek-chol, leader of what used to be the strongest order in the continent, and currently one of the three most powerful individuals in the northern regions. He had lost every single child born in this world to the curse of extinction. The offspring that had been left behind in the old world was now his final hope. The reports which made its way to him claimed that the son, who bore his mother's name, was doing quite well. With his natural leadership, he had led by example and displayed remarkable bravery to his people in the rank matches. He had even managed to strike down the tam-tam that was usually known as the nightmare of rank matches. When he heard that the son, who just arrived in Otherworld, from whom he never really had hoped much, was doing so well, he couldn't help but devote his attention to him.
Your son is doing quite well. The other side managed to prepare 6 werewolves for the rank match this time, but he managed to overcome them with a clever strategy. Who would have thought of it? To use the alchemist class for this?
Sangil reported from the other side of a scrying orb.
Is that right? For them to release 6 werewolves, who's backing the other side that's using such scummy methods?
It was difficult for a summoned to find a way to become a werewolf within the summoning palace. So 6 showing up at the same time was nothing short of impossible. Sangil began speaking again with a meeker voice.
That is, it's the Black Division.
Black Division? You're saying this is Shamal's doing?
Songtek's half-white brow shot up. Sangil felt like he was swimming against sewage.
That is, not verified. We're just speculating at this point.
Yeah? I mean, it's one thing if William did it, but Shamal would never do something like this. I'll go talk to Shamal personally.
It's not verified yet. I don't think there's a reason to bother anyone.
No? Didn't you say that Aram was a great kid? I might not have raised him, but he's still my blood. If he has this much potential, I can gladly lower my head and ask for favors.
Songtek waved his arms as he stood up from his chair. The brightly lit scrying orb slowly faded.
Ah, fuck.
On the other side of the scrying orb, Grand Knight Sungil wiped the sweat from his forehead and collapsed onto his chair. A fiery-haired female mage revealed herself from the shadows from behind him.
Sir Grand Knight, don't concern yourself so much. It has already gone this far. We're in the same boat now.
Sangil had almost lost all of his pre-selected in the previous match. Even Aram, who he had to protect no matter what, was not an exception to this. He had been driven into a corner and Dolores had slithered in front of him like a viper.
I gave a false report, as you told me to for now. Now, what should we do, Dolores Winterer?
Sangil brushed his hands across his face in his anguish and spoke in a pained voice.
It's not that there aren't any solutions, Sir Grand Knight. Don't we still have a card left to play?
What is it?
What is this card you speak of?
Sangil desperately raised his head and stared pleadingly into her eyes. She paused for a beat before answering.
If my guess is correct, the Night Captain doesn't know his son's face. I haven't seen a magic printmaker drop by even once.
I told him vaguely how the boy looks.
What did you tell him?
That he's good-looking and quite handsome.
Hearing his words, DeLawrence broke into a mischievous smile.
Then that settles it.
What's settled?
Have someone substitute for him. Someone similar. All parents think their children are the most handsome anyways. Don't they say that even ogres think their babies are cute?
Are you for real? Have a standing. It'll be all over once the captain and the replacement meet.
A small portion of Sangil's suppressed rage peeked out.
Who says we'll let them meet? Just kill the stand-in and it'll be okay. Have you forgotten that the next rank match is the last one?
Kill him? At the rank match? The stand-in?
With great difficulty, Sangil's dense mind began to catch up to her vision for the narrative. She smiled a sympathetic smile and continued with her story.
We'll make him a hero. A hero that fought alone against overwhelming odds and died alone. Understand that it is the Scarlet Plaza that is coming up next.
Scarlet Plaza? You mean the very Scarlet Plaza that is being handled by the Assassin's Guild?
Yes. Luck is on our side.
Sangil finally understood the entirety of her plan. He swallowed deeply and spoke in a hushed voice.
War would erupt between the Order of the Iron Blood Knights and the Assassin's Guild after this.
That could be. But is a war as important as Sir Grand Knight's life?
Sangil suddenly glared at her blunt question, but he couldn't reprimand her. In the eyes of Krill, who was watching from a distance, Sangil seemed completely constricted by the snake that was DeLawrence.
So great,
DeLawrence Sunbay. I doubted you, but to even manage to toy with the proud Grand Knight?
Great. Really great.
After she had finished making Sangil yield, DeLawrence approached Krill and spoke to him in a relatively friendly tone.
Did you see all that, underclassmen? For nameless people like us to spread our name as mages, we can't stop at anything. We have to use everything at our disposal.
Amazing. Really amazing, Sunbay.
Krill genuinely bowed to DeLawrence. He couldn't help but do so. Her opponent was someone who was one of the top 10 most influential members, Grand Knight Sangil Ma. He was someone that DeLawrence would usually never dare speak to. Not just anyone could ignore this stark difference and include them into their treacherous scheme through the sheer force of their will.
If I could learn under this person, maybe even my degrading life could... Maybe it could open up.
The ill will he had for her was already long gone. Krill voluntarily poured DeLawrence some alcohol. She smirked and then wet her lips with the strong alcohol before lightly licking it off with her tongue. She looked around the observatory before speaking quietly.
I need a stand-in. Ideally, try to find me a pre-selected or someone that stands out for the job. I would normally have sent the drill sergeant, but for some reason I can't seem to reach her.
DeLawrence stared up at Krill.
Hurry back.
The memory of a person that he had briefly forgotten popped up. The shabby appearance of a wild-looking man that looked ragged.
That person. I wonder who he is.
The man was no longer an essential existence, as Sangil no longer requested bribes. In contrast, this man was now a liability, as he knew Krill's weakness, just like DeLawrence knew of Sangil's.
Ah, one more thing.
DeLawrence called out as Krill was about to leave.
Yes, Sunbay?
There's someone that's been getting on my nerves.
Oh, who's bothering you?
There is a woman who picked up the staff I gave to Aram. It bothers me more that I don't know her name. It bothers me a lot.
DeLawrence threw her shot glass towards the ground. Krill could hear her slithering voice as the glass shattered into pieces.
You want to work for me, right?
His heart froze at her words, his breath caught in his throat.
If you want to learn under me, then prove your worth.
My worth? How?
I don't like it. You are trying to act naive when you already know the answer.
Her smile disappeared. It was as she'd said. Krill already knew what she was asking him for. The fierce battle had ended. The survivors digested that the long and tiring rank match had ended as they looked at the message that appeared before them. Sungchul stared into the air as he wiped the blood off his blade. Third rank match has ended. Blanche Plaza has killed 452 people. Blanche Plaza sustained 242 casualties. You are ranked in first place among the four plazas. His desired goal had been accomplished. He waited for the next message to appear. Overall rewards are adjusted by the rankings. You have killed 7 people outside your rank. Your contribution is 9.2%. You have been rated for S-grade rewards. Basic rewards, 1, times 12 palace tokens, 2, times 1 bottle of wine, 3, times 1 week of rations. Selective rewards, 1, brass breastplate, 2, knight's gauntlet, 3, times 2 healing potion, 4, warrior class transfer tome. Please select 2. They were adequate rewards. The appearance of warrior class transfer tome signaled that the final days of the summoning palace was drawing close. Sungchul chose the brass breastplate and the 2 healing potions. The knight's gauntlet would be more effective than the 2 items he'd chosen if they were used properly, but he chose to prioritize ease of use. In any case, they were all useless to him. He'd taken care of 7 people during this rank match. It was 2 more than the bare minimum for an A-grade reward. It was incomparable to Jungshik and Amuge, who sat at the top with over 30 kills, but he'd managed to reach S-grade with his contributions. Everyone who had participated in killing the werewolves had received S-grade rankings. Wu Zhong was also acknowledged as having personally killed a werewolf and got the coveted SS rank. So Sungchul had nothing to complain about. It was the best result he could have hoped for. He hadn't stood out, yet had done just enough to reach his goal to earn a large amount of palace tokens. I managed to get a hold of 37 tokens. There isn't much more to go. The daily common quests would also come to an end. They would get him 8 palace tokens, which was all that he needed to acquire the Echo Mage class. Hello. Amuge approached him after the battle had ended. He felt her properly this time, but she was a woman with a weak presence. It was difficult to notice her without concentrating first.
Why are you looking at me like that?
The number of summoned she had managed to kill was 64. She scored the highest of all of the summoned. Her innate skill with the sword was a major factor, but the aggressive use of Spirit Wolf staff allowed her to quickly raise her kill score and bypass Jungshik by at least 10 points. Why did you come find me? She replied softly with a mysterious smile at his question.
I came to keep our promise from a while back.
The hidden quest relating to magic power?
Yes, I'm sure it'll be to your liking.
He could raise his magic power to his desired amount with common quests within the summoning plaza, but if he considered the future, he also needed to do more than that. He would need a considerably larger amount of magic power to contend with the demon lord Hethsnius Max. Sungchul was prepared to use every opportunity he could find.
Okay, lead the way.
Amuge led him beyond the palace walls and deep into the forest. It looked as though she had visited the place more than once as the woods were overgrown with no clear signs, which made it very easy to get lost in here.
Do you perhaps have the alchemist class?
Amuge asked as she brushed past the trees.
Didn't we agree not to ask about each other?
Of course. But it left quite an impression on me. I never imagined that an alchemist class's ability, the one they call a trap class, could be used to resolve that disaster.
Sungchul didn't answer. Amuge saw his thick face and her eyes curled up in laughter.
To tell you the truth, I was going to give you a relatively ordinary hidden quest. But when I saw how strong you were, I changed my mind. I have a debt to repay to you, so I prepared a top-tier quest.
There was a small pond at the end of the forest. At its center was the statue of a bowing angel. Amuge pointed at the statue and said,
The quest will begin when you touch that statue. You'll earn rewards based on the difficulty you choose. However, be careful. If the difficulty you choose is too high, you'll die no matter how strong you are.
Is that so?
Sungjo looked back at Amuge and headed towards the statue. She sat at the edge of the pond and spoke brightly.
I'll give you 3 hours. If you don't come out by then, I'll assume you're dead. Come back by yourself if you manage to survive past that time.
Sungjo walked towards the statue without a word. The moment he put his hands on the statue of the bowing angel, bright letters appeared before him. The Forgotten Path of the Seven Heroes, Sagittos.
Sagittos?
Sungjo's eyes reflected his surprise. After the message had appeared, Sungjo was moved to another space. It was a land without any features like trees, hills, valleys, or buildings. This perfectly flat land extended all the way to the horizon, which was the only means to distinguish the boundary of the land. Another message appeared before him. You have arrived at the Forgotten Path of Sagittos. Sagittos. He, along with Vestiare, was one of the two mages that were part of the Seven Heroes, but his style was vastly different to hers. Vestiare used echoes to cast her magic repeatedly, but Sagittos was versatile enough with his ability to use several different types of magic simultaneously. Because of that, he had earned the nickname Mage of Multicast. He would simultaneously prepare a multitude of spells, either dodging the enemy attacks or having already sealed off their movement with magic, before simultaneously unleashing the prepared array of destructive spells to destroy all of his enemies in one go. His multicast was even able to stack several different high-level spells with enough power to blow away the mountains. Even obtaining just a single one of these spells would greatly help Sungjo.
I got lucky. I managed to find the path of Sagittos after the path of Vestiare.
He had hoped to also find traces of the other members of the Seven Heroes around the Summoning Palace, as they always acted together ever since their conception until their final journey.
Ooh, I can't breathe. So painful.
Bertelgia, who was in his front pocket, began to struggle.
What's wrong, Book?
I can't breathe. This space, it feels like I'm fish out of water. Hurry, into the storage. Put me into your storage.
It appeared that this space wasn't suitable for familiars. He put the familiar into his storage. Not long after, a light that was about the size of a firefly appeared. It was a primitive spirit called Will-O-Wisp. The Will-O-Wisp, which had arrived quietly, began to form words. Which path of the Seven Heroes do you wish to walk? The difficulty of the trials will vary based on the dream.
There were 5 different dreams listed in ascending order of difficulty.
Gentle downward slope. Flat path. Gentle upward slope, steep upward and downward slopes, unexplored path.
Sungjo chose the most difficult path, and countless clouds appeared from the horizon.
The clouds quickly covered the sky and dried up, and twisted dead grass appeared on the wasteland. He watched the changing environment with cold eyes until he saw something that was familiar to him.
Ah, this place. Isn't this the path of lamentation?
There was no doubt. This was the path leading to the entrance of the demon realm. As if to prove that demons hated and despised all life, grass would not grow where a demon's hooves had trampled on the path of lamentation. Only the cold, emotionless rain wet this dead land. Sungjo watched the flowing clouds before picking a direction. He was heading northwest, walking wordlessly across the desolate landscape, until suddenly and without warning, the ground beneath his feet gave out and pulled him into a vortex of earth and sand. It was a sand hell, one of the monsters of the demon realm. Sagittos's message popped up before him. Due to this monster that swallowed the ground, we lost a large number of support units and beasts of burden that were carrying our rations.
Sungjo didn't panic and immediately jumped into action. He followed the contour of the sand as he ran towards the center of the vortex where a large pair of jaws awaited him.
He could hear the soulless laughter of a woman coming from the center. He grabbed the saw-like horns from its gaping maw to withstand the flowing sand. The sand hell suddenly began struggling more violently and loosened the ground even further. Several tons of sand flew up and then came showering down from the sky.
It pushed with an astounding amount of strength. However, Sungchul didn't budge. He grabbed the Sand Hell's horn and held on solidly until its movements became dull. He twisted off the horn and stuck it deep into the maw of the Sand Hell after it had stopped shaking the earth. The Sand Hell spat out violent blood as it convulsed before it flipped over. Sungchul lightly leaped out of the sand pit and hurried on. A human skeleton blocked his path next. The skeleton wore a brilliant crown and a shining set of armor. As if to prove his former regality, the skeleton warrior had donned equipment that was fit for a king. His body made clacking sounds as he drew his blade. A message appeared before Sungchul. A foolish king joined hands with the demon king in exchange for eternal life. He got his wish, but he didn't retain his past form. We lost many friends due to this foolish king that stood in our way. Sungchul finally understood. The scenery before him was composed of Sagittos's memories. He was perfectly reliving Sagittos's journey through the demon realm that was sealed inside this place.
Mortals cannot pass.
Several thousand skeleton warriors rose up around the skeleton king. It was the very definition of a skeleton army. The crowned skeleton swung his blade, and the thousands of skeleton warriors mindlessly rushed towards Sungchul. Sungchul cut down one or two skeleton warriors with his beginner's blade, but he ended up pulling out Falgaraz from his storage.
Wham!
One hammer blow crushed dozens of skeleton warriors and left them sprawled on the floor.
Wham! Wham!
Several holes formed within the skeletal army. The army had the ability to replenish their numbers, but the rate of their replenishment couldn't keep up with the rate at which Sungchul destroyed them. Eventually, Sungchul reached the crowned skeleton and finished the battle with a single swing. The crown fell to the floor and the army, cursed with immortality, disappeared, sucked into the ground through a mysterious force. Several more obstacles blocked his path towards the demon realm, but he overcame them with little difficulty. A Balrog, a high-tier demon, finally appeared before him. How much blood had to be spilled beneath the hooves of the demon general Agrippos, the king of all Balrogs? Our forces numbered 103 when we encountered him, yet the only ones to survive in the end were the seven heroes and a nameless youth. Sungchul focused all of his senses on the demon in front of him. It was different than the average Balrog. It was larger and exuded a stronger aura. Agrippos let loose a thunderous laughter and swung his massive axe like a windmill. Strong gusts of winds caused the flames of hell to erupt from the ground, dyeing the scene an infernal red. Within the flames of the wind, Sungchul gripped Falgaraz and stood unshaken against the king of Balrogs.
Wham!
Sungchul's hammer soon landed a critical hit upon Agrippos. But the moment they made contact, Agrippos evaded the blow by leaving behind an illusion made of flames, just like a cicada shedding its shell.
Your attacks will never reach me,
the demon spoke, but Sungchul didn't stop. He blindly swung his hammer towards Agrippos again. It wasn't just once, but it was a continuous blow, which appeared as though several dozen hammers were attacking simultaneously. Agrippos tried to use his evasive technique again, but after using the skill for the third time, Sungchul's hammer finally found its mark.
No! Save me! No!
The king of Balrogs, while in the air, clenched his fists as the merciless barrage of blows pounded his body. It was not long until he perished. Sungchul loosened his grip on the bloody hammer and calmed his breathing as he stood over the demon's corpse. There was a burning land beyond the dark clouds. Demon realm. The land of devils. This was the end of the path of Sagittos. The scene of the demon realm suddenly vanished. The featureless and barren land surrounded him once more.
Amazing! I can't believe there was a human capable of brute-forcing his way through the path like this,
he heard a voice from behind. It was a voice full of youth and vigor. Sungchul turned around to respond to the owner of the voice. It was a mage wearing a pure white robe. He wielded a staff that was taller than himself. Sungchul didn't feel a presence from him, which meant that it was simply an apparition made of magic. However, Sungchul was still surprised.
So this is Sagittos.
He looked younger than Sungchul had anticipated. No, childish would have been more accurate. Unlike the typical elderly mages who had diligently trained for their entire lives to obtain power, he seemed more like a gifted prodigy who did not have control over his overwhelming strength and was likely to act out on a whim.
So, you're the human that Vestiary was talking about. Your strength is a most thrilling thing to behold and so unwavering to boot. Really, I think you have the greatest potential I have yet to see.
Sungchul only quietly responded.
Stop yakking away like a bitch. Hand over the rewards and fuck off.
Sagittos grinned so widely that he showed his teeth.
The rewards will come. A promise is a promise. I just want to ask one thing.
For what do you fight?
He coiled his legs in the air and crossed his arms as he looked down upon Sungchul.
To bash your head in.
Sungchul fidgeted with his hammer while speaking.
Truly an interesting friend. Okay, you sound a bit impatient, so I'll reward you first.
Sagittos smirked while putting his hands together. Magical letters blossomed like flowers, appearing and disappearing around his hands, and after a while, several items appeared in his palms. Sagittos grabbed one of the items and pushed it towards Sungchul.
How about this, friend?
What's this?
Sagittos formed an evil smile at Sungchul's question and answered,
Final elixir.
Sungchul's eyes visibly shook.
He said, Final elixir? Is this really the elixir?
Final elixir. It is the king of all medicine, said to even be able to resurrect the deceased. But the true value of the final elixir lay elsewhere. The final elixir was one of the only two known methods that could undo the curse of extinction.
If you don't like it, I have other items here. Feel free to choose carefully.
Sagittos laid down several items that also included legendary artifacts, magical scrolls filled with mystery, and other items that were difficult to look away from. However, Sungchul's eyes only held the final elixir within. With his eyes filled with longing, Sungchul reached out for the elixir. Sagittos's cruel smile deepened when his hands finally came in contact with the final elixir.
Dear me, it's a miss.
When Sungchul's fingers touched the final elixir, the legendary medicine turned to dust and scattered on the floor. Sagittos's heartless words followed after a cold laughter.
I know what you fight for, fatherly love. Such a painful word for you, isn't it? Why so quiet? Don't tell me you're angry, hmm?
At that moment, Sagittos's apparition could feel an indescribable pressure bearing down upon him.
Oh, my!
A fierce combat aura made from pure wrath billowed out of the poorly dressed young man. The hammer slowly rose. Sagittos's apparition tried to escape, but he discovered that the intangible murderous intent had bound him in place.
Damn!
The apparition was struck down by the hammer and it shattered into pieces. However, it never lost its composure, as if still mocking Sungchul until the very end.
Let's meet again next time, friend. It won't turn out like this that time.
The cold voice weakly echoed as it broke apart, and bright letters appeared before Sungchul. You have completed Sagittos' path. You have completed the objective Completionist of the Unknown Path. Hidden. Epic. Rewards. 1. Magic Power, +25. 2. Magic Blade, Infernal Heart, Rare. The first reward on the list was similar to last time. The 25 magic power upgrade was a significant boon. There weren't many opportunities to raise a stat by anything more than 20, no matter how low the base stat was. However, he still had one complaint.
They didn't give me any palace tokens. Is that because I got the blade?
Sungchul held up the magic blade, Infernal Heart. Magic Blade, Infernal Heart, grade rare, mid-grade, type Blade, magical. Effect, well-tempered edge. +10 strength, flame attribute. Note, a blade crafted by a mad blacksmith inside of a molten lake in which a fire spirit resides. He burned to death immediately after the blade was completed. It was a decent blade. It was meant to be used by beginners, like the magic staff Moonlight he had previously received. But unlike the staff, the blade would also be decent enough in mid-level. It might be the best item one could earn within the summoning palace. Within the well-tempered blade, the muted aura of a flame spoke well of the blade's quality, and the balance was good, enough for it to feel weightless. Songchul swung the blade as a test, and a streak of flames formed along the path it had been swung in. Using it would cause critical damage by slicing open, then searing the exposed flesh. Not bad. However, he also knew that this wasn't everything. It was similar to Vestiare's case. The seven heroes rewarded twice. Songchul grabbed Falgaraz and the rewards and waited for the expected message to appear. It did. The seven heroes. Sagittos laughs raucously at your ability to complete the objective. Songchul's eyes emitted a cold light. Laugh it up while you can. The seven heroes, Sagittos, has decided to bestow a special reward for completing the objective. Reward. 1. Map made of goblin hide. 2. Blue ruby ring. The true reward for completing the objective had appeared. A single map and a single ring fell to the floor. The rewards didn't make sense, similar to the case with Vestiare. He first picked up the map made of goblin hide. Map made of goblin hide. Grade, common. Type, miscellaneous item. Effect, none. Note, it was made in a hurry due to a commander's order. The explanation had Sagittos' distinct style to it. Other than the preservation, there didn't seem to be any magical power coming from it. It seemed just like a normal map. The map was made of a goblin hide which reeked of savagery, and the quality wasn't much better than that of a drunken pirate captain's crudely drawn map. The map pointed to an untamed rainforest set beneath a mountain range called the Screaming Sword's Edge Mountain Range. Screaming Sword's Edge Mountain Range was located at the southernmost tip of the continent and was one of its unexplored territories. There were no sources of income here, and it had nearly no quest rewards in the whole area. There were only frequent status afflictions, stenches, and diseases carried by irritating monsters here. The xenophobic hermit kingdom of lizardmen was all that awaited the visitors at the end. Songchul, who in this world was second to none in terms of strength, had never even thought of going there because of the pure annoyance the journey would be. Screaming Sword's Edge Mountain Range. That area is a fucking shithole. There was some writing scrawled at the bottom of the map. Why do you think I gave you the Infernal Heart? If you have a head, try using it. Beneath that was another set of markings scrawled out with a pen. It was hard to make out, as it didn't seem to have been written with ink, but rather had been scratched out with just the pen's dry tip. His laughter escaped through his nose. They say a person acts the way he appears. How immature. Songchul didn't appreciate the host's need to play pranks rather than simply handing things over. However, they say a thirsty man will dig a well. He grabbed both the map and Infernal Heart and began contemplating on how to uncover the trick. He eventually succeeded in finding the secret. When Infernal Heart, with its fiery aura, was placed beneath the map, a new message appeared. It was in an ancient text. It was written in a long-forgotten language that only a rare few could decipher. Fortunately, Songchul just happened to be one of those few people. He stumbled through his memories to decipher the message. Strong, powerful, morning. If, ask, cute, critter, ring. Like, sunlight, shine, earth, release, together, incantation, secret through. He might be able to translate the text, but his ability to decipher the message was poor. Actually, it was abysmal. At most, he was only able to fit together some of the words that he already knew. However, Song Cho was the master of fitting pieces of puzzles together. He had the ability to pick up the most important context from these seemingly unrelated words. Together incantation. Is this referring to the multicast? I think this map is a record of how to obtain multicast. Sung Cho's eyes sparkled with curiosity. There was also another item, a ring with the blue ruby gemstone called Angel's Tear. Blue ruby ring. Grade. Rare. Type. Miscellaneous item. Effect. High value item. Note. The blue ruby ring is the greatest reagent, but due to its weak reactivity, it isn't often used. Its beautiful light and pattern makes it favorable for use as decoration. Similar to the goblin hide, it was another normal item. No matter how carefully he inspected it, there were no special characteristics to it. The Eye of Truth also gave the same results. There wasn't even a hidden message like there was with the map, but it seemed to be the key to uncovering the clue leading to Sagittos' deepest secret, multicast. Like Vestiare, Sagittos wouldn't leave behind a thoughtless reward. I guess the actual reward that he left can only be found by crossing over the Screaming Sword's Edge mountain range. Sung Cho placed both items into his soul storage and watched as the barrier surrounding him broke down. The void space disappeared, and he returned to the scene of the pond that was surrounded by a thick forest. He heard a familiar voice.
Already done?
It was Amuge. As she had been meditating, it seemed like she was also diligently performing her common quests. Sung Cho looked up to the sky. The sun was already setting to the west. How much time has passed?
About 2 hours.
I see. Sung Cho backed away from the statue and got out of the pond. As soon as he was out, the statue in the center broke and collapsed.
Hmm?
Amuge was taken by surprise, and she rushed towards the statue. She ignored her wet clothes and inspected the rubble with her hands.
Hmm? The quest disappeared? How can this be? I heard that the seven heroes struck down the people they didn't like, but I've never heard of them destroying a core structure like this.
Her eyes grew wider, then turned towards Sung Cho.
How did this happen?
Don't know. Sung Cho obviously knew, but he still kept his mouth shut. Nothing good would come from blathering about completing objectives. Amuge stared at him while getting red in the face, then asked him carefully,
Perhaps, did you complete its objective?
He didn't make any movement one way or the other. He glared at her and responded calmly, Didn't we agree not to ask each other questions? It was the single most important promise between them. No matter how excited she'd become, Amuge still realized the importance of such a promise.
Ah, yes, that we did.
She forcibly calmed her breathing and returned to her calm, normal self.
I apologize for prying.
Okay. Sung Cho was just moving towards the plaza when an unexpected noise erupted from his stomach. Going on a rampage for the first time in a while, it worked up an appetite. Amuge had clearly heard the noise.
It sounds like someone's hungry.
A natural bodily function quickly shifted the atmosphere. An awkward smile formed on her lips, and Sung Cho simply nodded with no particular expression. He spoke towards Amuge. I'm going to prepare a meal. Care to join me?
It's okay. I have no interest in chewing those bricks they call bread.
Amuge politely declined and tried to head back, but Sung Cho spoke to her retreating figure again. Is that right? I got some meat from the rank match. I was prepared to show off some of my skills. The hardest challenge Sung Cho had faced after he became the enemy of the world was obtaining a proper meal. He fed himself with poorly cooked meat, fruit, and some grass, but that was only good enough for a couple of days. His desire for a decent meal had kept growing until it could no longer be suppressed. He ended up choosing chef as his first subclass, and since then, he had embarked on a difficult worldwide journey to become a true chef. By the time Sung Cho qualified for the prestigious title of chef de cuisine, a philosophy had taken root in his heart. When hungry, one should eat delicious food. He finally developed quite an appetite after a while, so this was the best opportunity for him to eat something delicious. He had decent ingredients with him, and a friendly guest who had taught him about a wonderful quest.
What do you mean? Did you say meat? Are you talking about the mystery meat they gave us after the rank match?
Amuge obviously had gotten some meat before. She had earned first place during the death match, but it wasn't easy to prepare the meat.
It smelled strange, and wasn't it also too tough to eat? I would have preferred getting a few more apples than that.
She must have already tried eating it, but it sounds like she had prepared it poorly. A mysterious smile formed on Sung Chul's lips. The regal mountain chicken is something that can be put on a king's plate.
Regal mountain chicken? Is that the name of the meat?
Just trust me. I have complete faith in my cooking ability. Sung Chul led Amuge towards a cave at the cliff's edge, but a familiar smell emanated from the area around the cave.
Is this the smell of human blood?
Amuge's eyes grew cold. Sung Chul raised his hand and moved over. Wait, it looks like some unwelcome guests may have been here. Sung Chul slowly headed towards the cave. Blood stains and bloody footprints were strewn about the cave entrance. By the shape of the footprints, someone must have gotten punished by the cave's owner and had been chased out. The cave owner's pair of eyes lit up brightly within the darkness as he revealed himself. It was a massive bear which reached 5 meters in height. It looked like a bear, but it also had the pattern of a tiger on its pelt. The tiger bear, a creature which roamed the vicinity of the summoning palace. Despite its fearsome appearance, this monster was an herbivore. It especially enjoyed eating honey. However, this massive beast was still capable of using its fearsome size to injure dozens of amateurs summoned effortlessly. However, this only applied to a beginner summoned. Sung Chul stared down the tiger bear. It looked defiant, but when its eyes met with Sung Chul's, it froze. Scram! His cold utterance hit the bear like a blizzard, and the large beast hastily crawled deeper into the cave. Watching the scene, Amuge carefully asked a question.
Are you a druid?
He couldn't say that in the past. He had beaten the bear like a stray dog until the very sight of him would cause the bear to run away in fear. Sung Chul entered the cave as he thought to himself, it was good that I hid this inside the bear's cave. 3 weeks after arriving in this world, a few of the summoned have already grown strong enough to venture this far out. The meat that had been stored in the cave was certainly safe. He ignored the tiger bear that was peeking at him as it trembled in fear and brought out the portion of meat that had been well preserved in a cool area of the cave. It was chicken meat that was wrapped in tree leaves. Wait, I'll go gather some ingredients. Sung Chul apologized and left his seat to bring out a small box from his soul storage. The box contained everything he needed for cooking, from essential condiments to extremely rare and valuable spices worth more than their weight in gold. He only subtly took out some ingredients that wouldn't stand out and wrapped them in a leaf before taking out a different box. This box was filled with dried vegetables and mushrooms and other similarly preserved foods. Sung Chul took out a few different types of mushrooms and returned to Amuge. It might take an hour and a half. Will you wait? Amuge nodded. Sung Chul packed the ingredients he had gathered into the chicken, wrapped the chicken in a broad leaf, then smeared it in the mud.
What are you doing?
Amuge, who had been watching Sung Chul, asked a question.
Cooking?
Sung Chul, after putting a thick layer of mud onto the chicken, lit a fire and placed the mud-covered chicken on top of it. It looked too primitive to call it cooking, at least in Amuge's perspective. An hour and a half passed. Sung Chul pulled the crisply cooked mud out of the fire and began to break the muddy exterior with the pommel of his beginner's blade. Thud! The mud layer broke apart, and the aroma of meat spread throughout the air. Amuge's eyes lit up in excitement as drool filled her mouth.
What in the world is this? This aroma?
Sung Chul quietly broke apart the mud, then pushed half of the chicken over to Amuge.
It's not great, but give it a try.
Amuge looked at the juicy flesh which was revealing its golden meat, then swallowed her drool before ripping off a piece and putting it into her mouth.
Oh,
As the meat entered her mouth, the regal mountain chicken's life was played out like a panorama before Amuge's eyes. His life or death battle with the eggshell, his battle for food with his siblings, his teenage years molting out of his cotton feathers into proper ones, and his fateful meeting with a hen on another mountain, then finally his slaughter.
So delicious. It's my first time eating something so delicious.
She could barely contain her tears as she ate her first proper meal in a long time. Reputation or etiquette was meaningless in front of such absolute flavor. To Sungchul, it tasted rather plain. 58 points. The ingredients and tools weren't on par, so it was difficult to make anything worth over 50 points. The chef class had the ability to see the score of any food they tasted. It was quite useless to Sungchul, but it was still a decent meal. When the meal ended, they both headed towards the plaza. Amuge, who had been silent for a while, caught up to him with soft steps before asking her question.
How about we make a deal?
Chapter 10. Selection Match.
A deal?
Sungchul's foot stopped. Amuge continued to speak to his back.
You know what the next rank match rule set will be, right?
Sungchul nodded. The next rule set was representative match. The rules were simple. 30 fighters would be chosen from the selection matches held in each plaza to fight the fighters from the other plazas, and the plaza with the most victories in the representative matches would be declared as the winner. Representative match was unique in that forfeits and draws were allowed, and there weren't many penalties. Some complained that it was an unfavorable rule set, since the majority of participants would not be eligible for the benefits. But because forfeits gave the participant a way to guarantee their life, it was also often viewed as the most relaxed of all the rank matches. But for the non-participants, this wasn't the case. The difficulty behind the last rank match lay not in the duels itself, but in the process of choosing the 30 warriors. Currently, 600 to 700 summoned were still alive in the Blanche Plaza. Of those, only 30 would be given a chance to fight as the representative of their plaza in the arena. The rest were forced to participate in a betting game with their lives on the line. The guess the winner 30 times in a row or die game. From the day the summoning palace had been established, not a single person had been able to get out of this mini game alive. In other words, survival depended entirely on making it to the top 30 through the hellish qualifier rounds.
It is regarding the upcoming selection match, she said after a brief moment of silence. I do believe that we have already joined hands, but I just want to confirm whether the feeling was mutual.
No one was trustworthy in Otherworld. It would be extremely naive for her to take a generous meal as a sign of good faith. This was a world where today's friends could turn out to be tomorrow's enemies. It was better to be even more wary of a formidable ally than of a formidable enemy. Amuge's first impression was that Sungchul was quite average. He looked like a person with no defining characteristics. His swordsmanship was average, and neither his speed nor strength seemed like anything too extraordinary. However, as time passed, she started to feel that there might be strength within him beyond what could be observed with the eye, like during the Tam Tam match and during the werewolf incident. Although it was clumsy, he always found a solution to everything. He had even managed to kill the werewolf Autumn on his own and erased the path of Sagittos by completing the primary objective. The only person who had ever managed to make her feel wary was this average person.
No one was able to complete the objectives of the Path of the Seven Heroes after the thousands of years that they existed in the Summoning Palace, but this person did it in just 2 hours.
The objectives of the Path of Seven Heroes were well accepted to be impossible to fulfill, no matter how much training or preparation a person underwent. This was because the Path of the Seven Heroes didn't stop at measuring the participants' capabilities, as it also measured their potential. In the event that someone from the outside relied purely on their high status points to try and brute force their way through, The quest could potentially reject them or even kill them with a trap contained within. Sajatos was also known to be one of the most excessive of the seven heroes. For that man to have solved Sajatos' objective within 2 hours would mean one of two things. His talent was outstanding enough to please Sajatos, or Sajatos himself had taken a liking to him.
I don't know how he managed to complete the objective, but he's definitely not ordinary. I should avoid making an enemy out of him.
Amuge thought as she revealed her most carefully guarded bargaining chip.
It isn't likely, but if I am about to lose my life, I want you to help me. If I manage to survive the selection match safely, I will tell you the location of another path of the seven heroes.
Curiosity lit up Sung Chul's eyes.
Another path of the seven heroes? Are you saying there are more seven heroes quests around here other than Sajatos's?
It was a question that he had already assumed to be the case, but he asked her with an innocent face that managed to fool Amuge. She nodded and then began to explain.
Before the final battle took place, the seven heroes gathered at the summoning palace and left behind trials filled with their individual visions. This was so that if they ever failed, they could prepare someone else to carry their burdens for them.
Songcho fell into contemplation after hearing her explanation. It was a win-win situation for him. He had no plans of fighting her, and it wouldn't be easy for a person like her to fall into danger either. It would be unlikely that he would need to step in to fulfill this bargain. It was also a great opportunity for him. He could memorize the faces of the seven heroes through their remnants, which would later make killing them a whole lot easier. After organizing his thoughts, he raised his head.
In that case,
he was about to accept when a cold, murderous aura approached from nearby.
Someone is coming.
It wasn't a monster. It was the aura of a person. Songcho quickly hid himself within the forest foliage. Amuge felt the presence shortly after and hid next to Songcho. When she erased her presence, it caused a big surprise for him.
This woman.
Her presence had disappeared completely, to the extent that he couldn't feel her even though she was directly next to him. Rather than an acquired skill, this must be a skill she had naturally been born with. A small group of people revealed themselves beyond the forest. Using a lantern's light to guide their way was a pathetic group with prosthetic arms and legs and robes made of dog skin. There were seven of them. There were also disfigured homunculi leashed to dog collars that were crawling along and kicked around by these people. Sung Trill immediately realized who they were.
Slave hunters.
It was unexpected. The only time slave hunters had ever stepped into the plazas was during the mass summoning in the first week to mark their slaves, but they normally would never enter the plaza otherwise. Well, that was unless they had some special instructions from a strange client.
It's over here, master. There are footprints leading towards the cliff's face, yayo.
A homunculus that was missing an arm inspected the floor carefully and began shouting loudly. The slave hunters nodded towards each other and moved towards the direction indicated by the homunculus. After they left, Sung Churl and Amuge both came out of hiding.
What was that about?
I'm not sure.
Sung Churl walked over to where the slave hunters had been and stood on his knee to inspect the floor. There were footprints scattered all about, but he distinctly recognized the footprint that the homunculus had found. It was a familiar footprint. It was Amuge's.
So that's it.
As predicted, the homunculus had pointed out a footprint that matched hers, which meant that for some reason, Amuge was being targeted.
Has her identity as a regressor been discovered?
Regressors were not welcome in these troubled times. The world wasn't naive enough to allow those with knowledge of the future to do as they wished. Sung Chul was fully aware of how those with powers treated the regressors. They were seen as bags of meat that could tell them about the uncertain future. Nothing more, nothing less. Most would be captured early on and tortured until they spat out information about the future, despite the irregularity doing this would cause before eventually dying. It was very likely that Amuge would also share this fate.
It would be wise to be careful from here on. They're looking for you.
This was the most Sung Chul could do. He had no desire to help her out and entangle himself with a regressor hunt. The ability to coordinate a regressor hunt indicated that the person behind this had quite the background.
Curious? Why are they following me? It's hard to say with my own mouth, but I'm not all that pretty. Don't worry too much about it. I'm confident that I can take care of myself.
Amuge responded lightly, as though she was unconcerned. Sungtro simply nodded and headed towards the plaza first.
Let's split up here. I'll return to the plaza first.
Regarding what we talked about before?
Amuge called out to him before he left. Sungtro didn't stop as he gave his answer.
Let's just say I agree to the proposal. I'll help you during the selection match, but I expect you to follow through on your end of the deal.
Saying that, he hurriedly left the forest. A small guest was waiting for Sungtro at the entrance of the plaza. The guest leaped up into the air when he entered, then landed on his shoulder.
Kew, kew!
It was Krill's sky squirrel. Sungtro checked the content of the message in the small pouch around the squirrel's neck. I will be waiting at a corner of the outer wall. My little friend will guide you. The atmosphere surrounding Krill was different at this second meeting. Krill had felt naive and immature before this, filled with the air of a rookie mage, but the Krill that was waiting beneath the palace walls now had the air of a relatively experienced mage.
It's been a while, Mr. Sungchul Kim.
Rather than a natural leisure coming from the heart, there was an obviously forced leisure surrounding his whole posture.
Why did you want to meet?
Sungchul's attitude was cold, and Krill laughed lightly as he spoke.
It's just that there's a small problem. Yes, I need more money. A lot more than usual. The pressure from higher-ups is getting stronger. I have to bear it every day now. I swear they're intending to rob me completely with the way they've been pecking away at me.
Sungchul stared at Krill with passive eyes. Despite Sungchul's silence, Krill began to scratch his head as though he felt some disdain coming from the gaze.
Help me one last time. It'll be over after this.
Last, you say?
Yes. No matter how much more that person demands, I'll make this be the final one. I promise, with my name on it.
Krill thumped his chest lightly with his left fist as to reinforce this promise.
What value does your name have?
Sungcho's response was cold, and Krill's lips twitched briefly.
This fucker.
It was for a short moment, but there was no way Sungcho would have missed it.
His head must have grown after all this time.
After a brief silence, Sungcho pulled out three more gems from his possession.
This is the final one.
Krill accepted the gems with both hands in a bow.
Oh my, three of these precious things. I'm ever grateful.
Krill smiled widely as he tossed over a bracelet.
Actually, the reason for this meeting was to hand over this thing. It's too heavy for the little guy to carry.
It was a worn bracelet made out of brass. Sungchul felt its weight on receiving it. Just as Krill had said, it would have been too heavy for the sky squirrel to carry.
What is this?
Sungchul gripped the bracelet and asked.
Let's just call it an entry pass to a guaranteed safe passage into the summoning palace.
Speak plainly.
Yes, yes, I'll explain again. If you wear this bracelet, you'll be able to obtain a miraculous victory with no effort through the selection match, and also the final match.
It looked like a plain bracelet on the outside. As he appraised it, it appeared to be a plain object with no magical effects to it. Krill put away the three gems and flicked his fingers to call over the pet to his own shoulder.
Just participate during the selection match wearing this bracelet, and you'll realize its real value. There's always a chance where something unintended happens, but don't panic. Just go with the flow. There's nothing to gain from acting unexpectedly.
Krill bowed deeply once more, put on the robe's hood, and disappeared into the darkness. Sungchul silently fiddled with the bracelet, carefully observing it. It looked like an ordinary bracelet, but Sungchul's legend rank skill, Eye of Truth, activated to list off all the information hidden within. Bracelet of Alias. Grade, rare, mid-grade. Type, equipment. Effect, hides mid-grade equipment. Bestows Alias. Alias, Autumn Park. Note. Disguises the user with the desired name, however, cannot disguise stats. two tricks were at play here. One was the veil cast over the equipment. Items with equipment veils would not display their item stats by simply looking at them or using them. Another was the alias bestowal. The one wearing the bracelet would be acknowledged with the alias written into the bracelet. These two tricks were working together to establish Seungcheol as Aram. Seungcheol was disappointed. It was such a pathetic and childish method. However, there might be some heinous and despicable plot waiting at the other side of it. So despite what he thought of it,